Here we are again, Psalm 119. And just think, after we're finished with this bank of verses, we will be halfway through. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we will read these 8 verses together. Verses 81 through 88, the Hebrew letter Kaf. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Well, here we go again with David. David has these ups and down moments in his life, doesn't he? High points, low points, floating somewhere in the middle points. Guess what he is? He's a human being. Yeah, just like us, right? And so here we go. We have all of these different things. And each of these little packets, each of these little pockets of Scripture, these 8 verses, they're just little revelations in and of themselves as far as how the individual deals with God. And David is trying to express something very special. As you know, David had these times in his life where he had great victories. And then he also had times where he had very low points in his life. Times where he would follow after God with just all his being. And times where he'd go away and not be where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. David went back and forth in his life, and listen, not much different are we in our lives, are we, than David was in his life. So here in verse 81, he begins another Hebrew letter, the Hebrew letter Kaf, and he is expressing some discouragement, expressing some darker, if you will, emotions about how long it's taking for God to respond to his requests. Remember in the passage just before, we had, let I pray thee, let thy tender mercies, let the proud be ashamed, let those that fear, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. We had all these requests that David had made known to God in his life. He says in verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see, this word fainteth, it is talking about perhaps an eager desire, but also can mean being dejected, depressed, or dispirited. He is longing for the salvation of God. He is looking for the salvation of God. And sometimes because of the duration, we can often become depressed or dejected or dispirited or wonder, God, where is this salvation? I know it's real. I believe it is promised. It's going to come, but when? When? And he says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. But aren't you glad that wasn't his only comment? He says, but I hope in thy word. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 42. Just back a few pages, maybe 10 to 15. I don't know how, whatever size your Bible is. Psalm 42. I want you to listen to the exclamation of the psalmist. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God.
My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, My rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Does that not adequately express what David's trying to say in Psalm 119 when he says, My soul fainteth for the salvation, or for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Do you go through times like David went through in Psalm 42? And as he expresses in Psalm 119, do you understand that there are times where it seems like God is nowhere to be found? And that's maybe when we need him most. But is his salvation real? Is his deliverance real? Does he care about us? Is he there in our darkest hour? Maybe we should ask the question, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. You know, many times, especially in our world today, with all of the things that are upside down, maybe we ask this question. Maybe we are like David and say, My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Is this book real? Is this book trustworthy? Are God's promises true? Will he care for us? Will he provide for us? Is really everything good that's according to his purpose? To them that love God. Is it really? Even the bad? You say, how could the bad be good? Because it's according to his purpose. God works in us and through us, and sometimes we do not understand, as David maybe did not understand. His soul asked the question, why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? You see, all of these things were because God hadn't appeared. God hadn't showed himself mighty in his circumstance. But who are we to determine the duration of these things? Does not God know? I hope maybe you had time to read the little poem that I printed in the bulletin by Corrie ten Boom. You know, we don't understand. Have you read this lady's testimony? You know what she went through? Man, you know, missionaries are exciting to learn about. You ought to read her testimony, her story. But she said, My life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors he weaveth steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow. And I, in foolish pride, forget he sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly, will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why? The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing his truth can dim. He gives the very, very best to those who leave the choice to him. You know, like David said, he said, hey, my soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. He said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Over in Psalm 84, we understand that being in the house of God was where the psalmist wanted to be. He said, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. You see, there are times in our lives where we feel far from God. Is there a longing? Is there a desire? Are you on your knees saying, God, where are you in my life? Make yourself mighty in my life. Show yourself to me, God. We need to have that opinion, that mindset. Or do you even notice? Do you even notice that God is missing from your life? That God seems to have stopped speaking to you? Or perhaps you've quenched the Holy Spirit of God in your life and it's just been a long time since you've walked with Him and talked with Him in the garden. You see, we should notice. We should take notice if God is missing from our life. We ought to cry out. And he says, my soul even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. In Isaiah 40, he says, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, folks, we've got to understand that it is very human for our soul to faint for his salvation. But he gives a very adequate solution to the problem. But I hope in thy word. Jeremiah, the prophet of God, wrote in Lamentations 3, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Psalmist said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Remember, the apostle Paul told the Galatians to not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. Folks, we don't need to be fainting, falling out, being dejected, depressed, dispirited because of the duration, because it seems like maybe God is not doing anything. Listen, I am a patriot. I am a proud member of the United States Navy. And I say, am. He said, you've been out for many years. I know. But it's still in me. It's still part of me. You understand? Listen. I don't like the way our country is going. It seems like God has kind of abandoned our country in a way. But rather, maybe our country has abandoned God. But why would I just quit? Oh, we'll just move to Canada. We'll just move to Mexico. We'll move somewhere else. Maybe I'll be called as a missionary to Africa or something like that. No, I mean, well, we're just going to throw down and forget about it? Be dejected and discouraged and quit? No, David said, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You know how we're going to change this country? Preaching the gospel to every creature. Going out and reaching someone for Christ this year. Getting someone to listen to the word of God and become saved and come and get baptized and join the church and be a lighthouse in our community. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to have our strength renewed. We don't need to faint for the salvation. We're in waiting for the salvation of our God. Look at verse 82. Go back to Psalm 119. First we saw in verse 81, the fainting soul solved by hoping in his word. Look at verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? The eyes fail when the desires and expectations are long delayed and a person is disappointed. You know, we read this book. There are promises in this book. There are things that God says he will do. Sometimes they don't come when we expect them. You know what 99.9% of the problem with life when we're disappointed is because something did not meet our expectations. And you know what? When something doesn't meet your expectations, maybe your expectations were wrong. What is it that you really expect from God? What is it that he owes you? This much. Nothing. You know where my expectations are? They're way down here. Why? Because I don't like being disappointed. That's why. You know what? There's a wonderful group of people here. I'm elated. I'm excited about it. You know why? Because I wasn't expecting 500. If I was expecting 500, you guys would be a disappointment. But thank God you're not. You know what? Why are we placing unreasonable expectations on God? Who are we to determine whether or not the timing is right or that his actions are long delayed? Go to John chapter 11. Here's someone who is disappointed. They expected something different of Jesus in their life. Are you there in John chapter 11? Look at verse 17. Remember, the psalmist said, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? In verse 17, the Bible says, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You see, Martha had an expectation that when she sent word, Jesus would come and heal her brother. He chose not to do that for his own purpose and for his own time. Are you going to let your eyes fail Because your expectations are set maybe unfairly? What kind of things are you holding God to? You say, well, God didn't do this for me. Well, maybe he wasn't supposed to do that for you. Don't you suppose he knows best? He said, are you going to sit and say, when are you going to comfort me, God? When are you going to deliver me from my circumstances? How long is it you're going to take? What is it you're going to, are you going to do this or not? And then sometimes we get a little bitter, upset at God. And may I say unfairly. Don't you remember that he's God? Don't you remember that he knows what's best? Hey, listen, sometimes as a father, I feel like I tell my children something and they either don't do it or they don't believe me. I'm like, what have I done to make you mistrust me? I mean, have I messed up somewhere? but think about it. What has God done that we mistrust him? What has he done that makes us have these false expectations that cause our eyes to fail? When our desires and expectations are not met and we're disappointed in God. Disappointed in God? I mean, let that rumble through your brain a little bit. How can we be disappointed in God? But yet many of us live that way or act that way or get in a time of life where it's like that for us. Flip over to Psalm 13. Now, don't forget, I'm a flipper. I like to flip back and forth here. And Bible markers are great things. So don't forget Psalm 119 is. Psalm 13, David says this. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? What a question to ask! I mean, really, the man after God's own heart, David, king of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You ever feel like that? You ever been in a place like that? Hey, listen, remember, we talked about just a minute ago how David made a bunch of requests. Let. And then he says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. But I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? You understand that David had some difficult times in his life. Even times like this where he says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? There are some difficult times that happen in our lives. And listen, folks, it's almost not if, but when they happen in your life. They will come. Dark and difficult times are part of life. How are you going to respond? What expectations of God do you have? Are you going to be disappointed because he takes too long to respond to your need? Too long to answer your request? Too long where he just says, I'm just going to not say anything and I want you to trust me. But who are we to say how long is too long? Who are we to dictate the expectations? In Psalm 69, David said, save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink deep. I in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. You ever feel like that? You ever been in a circumstance like that? Saying, God, when are you going to comfort me? When are you going to provide for me? When are you going to save me? When are you going to take me out of this circumstance? But what if you're like Paul and ask God three times and he says, no, no, no. Is his grace sufficient for you? Would you rather glory in your infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon you? Like Paul said. You know, in the book of Revelation, when they opened those seals, in chapter 6 it says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That was their expectation. You see, that song in the hymn book, Farther Along, it seems like the wicked are getting away with everything. And we cry out, how long, O Lord? Can I just tell you? It's not for us to determine that. It's not for us to have our eyes fail because we don't think God is acting soon enough. We need to be careful. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see, God does love us. God will take care of us, but it's in his time. In Psalm 6, verses 1 through 10, the Bible says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. God will hear us. When? I don't know. But he will. We need to make sure that we do not let our eyes fail for thy word. Saying, when wilt thou comfort me? We need to hope in God. We need to hope in his word. We need to not faint and to not fail. Go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 83. The psalmist continues. He says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. I found this an interesting phrase. Kind of like I found the other day, their heart is as fat as grease. An interesting phrase. There are some interesting phrases in our Bibles that we just don't use anymore or not really in our culture or our communities. They're just not common things that people say. When's the last time you heard somebody say something about becoming like a bottle in the smoke? You're like, what is that? I don't know what that is. Well, let me tell you, because I looked it up. Bottles in Bible times were often made of animal skins. Okay? The leather of an animal, etc. And they were made, and they were soft and pliable, but yet they would hold a substance, sometimes liquid, sometimes dry goods. But as long as they were supple, and as long as they were soft and pliable, they were usable. But when they became hard, and when they became brittle, and left out to dry or wither, they were then cast aside because they were no longer viable as a container. All right? So he says this in about his life. He says, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Now, in the Eastern cultures, they would hang these bottles up to hold stuff. You could imagine, right? What was the primary source of cooking or of warmth in the dwellings that they had in those days? Fire, right? And when you burn something, what does it yield? Smoke and heat, right? Okay? And if you hang up bottles that are made of animal skin, what's going to happen in the smoke and the heat that comes from the fire? They're going to dry out. They're going to harden. They're going to become brittle. They may even become black with the smoke around. I was talking with Brother Burkett about this guy was going around Texas finding the best barbecue places. And I mentioned to him one restaurant somewhere in West Texas somewhere. I don't remember the name of it. But the walls are actually black inside the restaurant. And they have a big bulletin board with business cards that people pin up there. And you can tell which ones have been there a long time because they're black too. And you can tell which ones are new because they're not black. Okay? Can I tell you that smoke affects things? It dries it out. It makes it brittle. It makes it so that it's weathered and withered and shrunk up and maybe no longer usable the way they once were. You know what David says? "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. God, I'm not as supple as I used to be. God, I'm not as soft and usable, maybe because of the hardness that has come in my life through these smoke. The smoke and the dryness in my life and the maybe some of the affliction, because we talked about David being afflicted and the trials and the struggles that he'd gone through in his life, and he now had a weathered life. But he yet says, yet do I not forget thy statutes." So God, I might not be the bottle that I used to be. I might have been hung up and endured some smoke and some dryness and some difficulties in my life. But I still remember your statutes. I'm not going to give up on you, God, even though it's been tough. Even though my soul fainteth for thy salvation, even though mine eyes fail for thy word, when wilt thou comfort me? Even though my life is maybe not what it used to be, and it's gotten a little hard, and things I've endured a lot, and I've been weathered a lot in my life, I still am going to remember your statutes. Who said life was easy? Who said it was going to be a cakewalk? Who said it was going to be just all, you know, skipping and singing and happiness and frolicking through the fields? I mean, really? No. Hey, can I give you some news, some information? Life is hard. It's hard. But guess what? It's okay. It's okay that life is hard. Because God is God. His word is true. He does love us. He does deal kindly with us. He does deal righteously with us. God does love us. Turn over to Psalm 39. Psalm 39. If you ever want to get over yourself and how bad you've got it, just go through and read Psalms. Okay? Just go through and read Psalms. There are others that have had it a lot worse than we do. Psalm 39, are you there? In verse 1, he says, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence, I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, and what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct a man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. You know, God knows the balance of our life. He knows what we're going to endure and go through. Remember what Job had to endure? Remember what Job had to go through? Hey, listen, I may have had some difficult times in my life, but I've never had to go through anything like that. And being a father of 11 children, don't kid yourself. I have actually thought about this. What if that happened to me? Because it could happen to me. What would I do? What would I say? How would I respond? You know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job wasn't going to give up. Job wasn't going to change how he served God because of this difficult circumstance. Have we become like a bottle in the smoke? Have we shriveled up? Are we no longer usable? Or are we going to be like the psalmist and say, yet do I not forget thy statutes? And can I just tell you, this is kind of a depressing one, isn't it? These three verses. David's going through some difficult things, but can I tell you, child of God, we're going to go through some difficult things in our lives. Are you hoping in his word? Are you to the point where you're allowing your expectations to make your eyes fail? Are you giving up? Are you giving in? Are you at the point of breaking? Like a bottle of smoke. Hope thou in God. Don't be disquieted. Don't be cast down. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Timothy is told to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We read that this morning. But listen to this. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Psalmist said, for I become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. Hey, speaking of people who've endured a lot, read Paul's testimony and what he went through. My favorite statement of his is, in deaths oft. That just perplexes my brain. This man died several times during his ministry. And God said, nope, not yet. Wow! What do I have to complain about? What hardness have I endured? In 2 Timothy 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Over in Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5. I just want to be an encouragement to you. There are times where your soul is going to faint for his salvation. But hope in his word. There are times when your eyes are going to fail, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? There are times where you're going to feel like you're a bottle in smoke and you're withering up and drying out, getting hard, unusable. But don't give up. Do not forget his statutes. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, it says this, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Remember what it says in Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, we've got to wait upon the Lord. We've got to hope in his word. We've got to not forget his statutes, lest we become discouraged, dispirited, cast off. There are times, I'm sure, that David felt that way. Aren't you glad? And one of the great things is, he always came back to the Lord. Don't give up on God. You see, it's taking him too long. How long is too long? Are you the timekeeper? Are you the time setter? Are you the one that determines the bounds of things? I think not. Can I tell you something? I'm confident that he knows what he's doing. I'm confident that he's faithful and true. I'm confident that he's good. I'm confident that he's righteous. I'm confident that he is in control. Are you? Sometimes we may not be. Sometimes our soul may faint for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Sometimes mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Sometimes it may be that we become like a smoke, a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. It's the wonderful word of God.